This morning I'm talking about a living Christianity, following on the theme of John Shelby Spong's idea of Christianity needing to change. When asked to sum up Unitarianism, I generally begin by pointing out that Unitarianism has its roots in the Christian tradition. That we are part of the Reformation, but we don't subscribe to a creed. And that explanation satisfies most inquirers because most people have only a very superficial interest in religion. So they probably think of us as being, well, Christian with a small c. As children in mainstream Christianity, we learned to recite the creeds and we were told to accept the theology on faith alone. And most Christians can recite a creed without ever questioning the tenets of the faith they propose to accept. Today, Christianity is in crisis. Church scandals may be partially responsible for the fall off in church attendance. However, the crisis of faith is far wider and deeper than the scandals of any one denomination. Christian churches of every hue are experiencing a drop away of numbers. And the decline in regular church attendance is matched by an increase in spiritual searching outside of traditional faiths. Bookshops are full of books about spirituality. People now question the tenets of Christianity. Blind faith is no longer credible. Belief in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living in heaven was plausible when we imagined heaven being just very high up in the sky. But science has given us a glimpse of the enormity of the universe, and there isn't a hint of heaven in any of those pictures of space. Church authorities are now caught in a bind. For almost 2,000 years, they taught these articles of faith as unchanging, literal truth. And they are left trying to justify outdated theology and unable to do so while the churches are emptying. And the thing about finding out truth is when we do, we can never step back from it. Unitarians know that the teaching of Jesus is more important than the creeds about him. However, when it comes to beliefs, Unitarians, who have opinions about almost everything, are silent. You know the quip that says we have a deep belief and we're not quite sure what? I think that is true. I know one longtime Unitarian who said that when they go to another Christian denomination, that he tries to join in the service as much as possible. And when it comes to the creed, he says, I believe in God. And that's it, end of story. However, even to say I believe in God is beyond what many Unitarians can actually say with truth. The late John Shelby Spong, and I recommend this book, Unbelievable. It's a terrific read for anyone interested. He was a bishop in the American Episcopalian Church. And he explained and said that he believed that the 4th century creeds of Christianity are outdated and they need to be discarded and replaced with more modern explanations. He fundamentally disagreed with Christian theology, but he remained throughout his life within the Christian church. And he believed that it is possible to reinterpret the Christian story so that it is relevant and reasonable in the light of current knowledge. In his book, he tries to reinterpret theology expressed in the creeds in ways that pass the test of reason. Spong explained his views of Christian theology. He said that the people who knew Jesus experienced something exceptional about him, his life, and his teaching. He said the Gospels are a record of what those people experienced and tried to express. But the accounts are set in the first century understanding of the world. Later in the third and fourth centuries, theologians codified Christian teaching. And as the Gospels are defined by the knowledge of the first century people who wrote them, so the theology is defined by the knowledge of fourth century understanding. And the experiences are not changing, it's the explanations that have to change. Spong says we need to try to reinterpret the Jesus story and the theology within 21st century knowledge. A few examples might help us understand this idea. The Gospels have many accounts where Jesus cured people who were possessed by demons. We never hear of anyone being possessed by demons now. Probably we would explain it as schizophrenia or epilepsy. Same experience, same problem, different explanation. In medieval times, here's another one. There was there was sort of a glut of women, particularly women, who fasted, and they claimed that they were sustained by taking only the communion, and they were venerated for their piety. Sometimes they were called fasting maidens, and there was one Catholic saint, and sort of her claim to be a saint was that all the time she thought of food, but the minute she sat at the table, she couldn't eat. Now that is anorexia, you know. But they didn't have the knowledge of that. We would explain it now as anorexia. That's modern knowledge, interpreting an experience differently over time. So Spong wants to reinterpret the articles of faith in the light of current knowledge. The articles of faith are the Trinitarian version of God, things like the Trinity, virgin birth, the resurrection, and so on. There was a 4th century philosopher called Xenophanes, and he quipped, "If horses had gods, those gods would be horses." That is exactly what 4th century theologians did with the idea of God. They made God a man. They gave him a son. They even allocated him an address. They fixed him in images. Their God was a male being, a kind of superhuman, who created the world in 6 days. And of course, that version of God does not live up to scrutiny, because science can never give way to theology. We know that. It has to pass the test of reason and science. Throughout history, peoples have tried to describe God. And they didn't all do it in those Christian theological terms. 3,000 years ago, the Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu was talking about before creation. And he said, "There was something formless and perfect before the universe was born. It was the mother of the universe." A different take on God being male with his son. Einstein said that he wanted to understand the mind behind the Big Bang. Jews are noted for refraining from describing God. However, there's hints of what they might have thought, because in the Jewish scriptures, when Moses meets God and he's sent to give a message to the people, Moses says, "Who will I say sent me?" And God responds with, "Tell the people, I am sent me." Spong suggests maybe a slightly similar image of God. The image is not set in stone. It's his workable hypothesis that he found useful at this time. He said that God is not a male being separate from the world. God, he said, is being itself. It's not a being. God is being itself. God is life. The universe is not separate from God. God is in everything, including humans. And Spong goes on to suggest that the essence of this creator of the universe is creative love. If you think about it is altruistic love that sustains life. If parents didn't love their children and cared for them, they wouldn't survive. If animals didn't care for their children, their offspring, they wouldn't survive. Altruistic love is what sustains life. It is love that allows every form of life to flourish. When we live in and with love, we are fulfilling our divine nature. This, for me, ties in with the Hindu tradition. In the Hindu tradition, people greet one another with the greeting Namaste. I greet the God within you. And this is acknowledgement of their belief that everything in the world is connected. And this interconnectedness of everything that they knew about 3,000 years ago is now part of physics. I think this idea of being connected and with everything and everyone, Emerson, who was a Unitarian writer in the 1800s, he experienced it, particularly when he was in nature, this feeling of utter love and contentment when he was out there. Emerson wrote of his experience, he said, "Walking in nature, uplifted into infinite space, all ego disappears. I am part and parcel of God." Emerson knew this from his experience. He felt he was part of God. To sum up Spong, he says that God is being. Life itself and the essence of life is creative love. Another idea that Emerson explores is the place of Jesus in theology and in the Christian tradition. Unitarians emphasize over and over again that we believe the teaching of Jesus is more important. And that teaching is usually summed up as love God and love one's neighbor as oneself. There is nothing original in that message. We know that. So there must be something else about Jesus that singled him out as being exceptional. Spong believes that Jesus was exceptional in that he broke down barriers. If you think about it, the Jewish faith was based on the belief that the Jews had a special relationship with God. They really looked down on other peoples. Practice of that faith was based in Jerusalem. It was overseen by temple priests. It was the priest who mediated sacrifices to God. Priests even judged whether people were healthy enough to belong to part of the community. Remember when Jesus cured the leper, he says to the man, go show yourself to the high priest that you're clean and you can go back and be part of the community. So there were barriers. Religion was handed out by the priest to the people. Jesus changed those rules. He broke them. Jesus put people at the center of everything he did. He was egalitarian. He confronted those in authority, and they contrived his death. And as for the resurrection, we know that even though Jesus died, the message lives on. Every person is part and parcel of the creative force we call God. Altruistic love is what sustains every living thing. When we live out the love in our lives, we're fulfilling our true divine nature, and our nature is love.